This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I may have discovered a new slogan for the show. I was trying to be witty for social media, for Twitter. I always put out a tweet right before the show starts if we don't have pre-law to set you up. And since we don't, we'll work on that for later in the week. Instead, I put a tweet out there for y'all to consume. I don't remember the last time I said y'all. And this is what popped into my brain. We help you muddle through the work week. I mean, if you got to be muddling through a work week, it might be much better to muddle if you have company. So here we are. Maybe that's the new slogan. A few years ago, I did pick a slogan for this show. I saw it on a commercial. I believe it was during an NFL game. And the slogan, I believe it was an insurance company. When people talk, good things happen. And that's been the official slogan for the show. When people talk, good things happen. But we also help you muddle through the work week. And by pronouncing this the hump show, you know, once you get through this night and this particular edition of the show, you're closer to the weekend, which is really what it's all about. Since nobody cares or nobody likes my idea of petitioning the U.S. government for three-day weekends, I feel like it would be so, I'd be so much more productive if I had a three-day weekend and a four-day work week. But alas, since that's not happening anytime soon, then instead we're going to help you muddle through the work week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Always good to have you on board with us. This is going to be a fun show, actually. I've got a few things that are off the beaten path, which this time of the year, it's my favorite thing to find a bunch of funny stories, both in sports and out, that are off the beaten path. Plus, Ask Amy Anything, always part of our hump show. So you can send your questions to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and then also on our Facebook page named After the Show. Chris loves it when you call. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. I'm going to save some of the fun stuff, though, till we get to the bewitching hours. Max Kepler, the man of the hour for the Minnesota Twins, not only does he tie the game with the Red Sox in the 13th inning. So Mookie Betts had homered in the top of the 13th. Yes, the 13th. That's not me saying something crazy and just messing up, which I have been known to do on a fairly regular basis. Mookie Betts homers in the top of the 13th at Target Field. Max Kepler answers with a home run in the bottom of the 13th, and they play on and on and on and on. Now, Target Field doesn't have a very long history yet, so it's still a relatively new venue. But I guess if you're going to break it in, having the longest game in Target Field history is the best way to do it. And so as they approached the 5-hour and 45-minute mark, it was Max Kepler at the plate with Ducks on the Pond.
He delivers. Line down the right field line, base hit. Hanging, breaking ball, arise, touches home plate. Twins on the field, going to mob Kepler. Their first walk-off win.
Oh, it ended so suddenly. Their first walk-off win. We got you, Corey Provis. It's a good call right there. After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. That was the Twins Radio Network, and we get it. We totally get it. So, Max Kepler, as I say, man of the hour, couple of late RBI, extra inning RBI. Actually, there are probably a lot of players in Major League Baseball who would take just the two RBI that he had in extra innings. And so the Twins beat the Red Sox in the longest game in Target Field history. I don't know that you need to know this for some type of trivia night, although I guess you could at some point. If you go to a trivia night in Minneapolis, maybe this is one that they might ask you. So be prepared. Don't say I never gave you anything. The Twins are up by 10 games in the AL Central. It's a pretty healthy cushion there. Meanwhile, the Red Sox, while they are above 500, are not making up much ground on the Yankees, who right now are enjoying their series against the Tampa Bay Rays. Yankees just got the first home run from Edwin Encarnacion. I think I'm digging John Sterling's call. We'll play it for you. He decided to go foreign language again, but this time he made it much simpler on himself. So, if you know Espanol, while there aren't words that rhyme with Encarnacion, you at least will have some words that end with similar phonetics, similar sounds. So you can be the judge for yourself. But it's been a good series for the Yankees against the Rays so far. So we'll talk about that a little bit. Giancarlo Stanton, who has the very complicated home run call in Italian, that one will not play because he was returning to the lineup, but he was 0 for 4 in his return. The Atlanta Braves had seemingly been running away like a horse who spit the bit. Been running away with the National League East, at least as much as you can right now. I get it. There's a long way to go. But the numbers that they had been putting up, and the number of runs that have crossed the plate for the Atlanta Braves in their last 11 games, 90 runs, 90 to win 10 of their last 11 games. And the New York Mets certainly know full well because they got the brunt of it. What was that, 12-4 game? On Monday night. So there have been a lot of teams that were starting to see the Braves heat up those young players that they've got scattered throughout their lineup. But let's be honest, sometimes the Mets make it easy on the opposing hitters. Not so much the reigning National League Cy Young Award winner who was staring at the Braves on Tuesday evening.
1-0 is lifted in the air to deep right field. Gomez back and under it, and he makes the two-hand catch, side retired. So DeGrom is done. It's after 101 pitches and 8 three-hit shutout innings.
I like the music. Dave, that was brilliant. Howie Rose on the Mets radio network. It actually wasn't Dave with the music. He might have been a little hipper. I don't know. Is the Mets music hip? Their little jingle is not so hip. Do you think they'll ever change that? Let's go, Mets. I don't listen to that many Mets games, but even I know that one. DeGrom shuts down the Braves as much as you possibly can. He shuts them down. 8 1/3 innings. He allows 2 runs on 5 hits with 10 strikeouts.
Meet the Mets. Meet the Mets.
I mean, he is pretty cute, actually.
Step right up and greet the Mets.
So the Mets, that's their song, but the Let's Go Mets part that I sang is from their radio network. That's the little drop that they, Let's Go Mets! It's really sad that this is what I do for a living, and I can belt out different baseball radio network jingles. So the Mets, anyway, the point of that was that Jacob DeGrom played the role of stopper. And in addition, there is a fabulous rookie that if you don't yet know his name, you really need to. Because it seems like every other night, Pete Alonso is doing something that he has never done before and is putting together not just a rookie campaign, but a campaign that a lot of veterans would be happy with.
2-2. Alonso, it's a high fly, deep right center, way back. Acuna back, trotting toward the wall. That ball is gone, a home run. Into the back of the Braves bullpen, an opposite field mammoth shot from Pete Alonso. It's his 24th home run. He has 3 RBIs tonight. He has 3 extra base hits tonight. And the Mets have a 6-0 lead.
That time we did not cut off the announcer, Wayne Randazzo, with the call on the Mets radio network as well. Pete Alonso, now with his 24 home runs, is second in the National League behind Christian Yelich. So it's not just, hey, these are great numbers for a rookie. No, these are great numbers for anybody. He's a lot of fun to watch. If you haven't yet checked out Alonso, and I get it, there aren't a lot of bright spots for the New York Mets these days. Even DeGrom, who is the reigning NL Cy Young, has been hit or miss at times. They've got injuries, of course, crazy injuries. But most of those, I feel like, are just typical of the Mets. And their pitching staff, every year it's supposed to be one of the best in the business, and every year it seems like it has injuries or doesn't quite live up to expectations. So I get it. These are still the Mets, but Pete Alonso is worth the price of admission. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Even as Manny Machado is in a battle for his life. No, it's not quite that dramatic. I was trying to make baseball more dramatic. It's actually not all that dramatic for the most part. Now and then we have a bases clearing conversation, or we have a manager get tossed or a player who goes toe-to-toe with an umpire. But as we talked about on last night's show, if you're putting together a reality program, so a reality TV program, based on one of the four major pro sports leagues in the U.S., and Canada, but primarily in the U.S. Major League Baseball, I thought, might not get any votes. It's actually gotten a few votes. That poll is still live for the next couple hours, so I'd love for you to take it, if for no other reason than to see the results right now. Shows you what we think of our four major pro sports leagues when it comes to their melodramatic quotient. So baseball is the caboose. It's bringing up the rear. So I'm trying to make baseball a little more dramatic here by adding some spice to it. Manny Machado in a fight with umpires over in a suspension. It's really not that dramatic. However, the San Diego Padres are paying him a boatload of money, and they definitely need him to keep himself busy with the bat.
Machado singled his last at bat. Hits one, a high fly ball. Deep right center field on his horse's cane. He will not get it. It will bounce on the track and go into the stands, costing the Padres a run, but a runner coming on, though. Garcia, in.
In! He's in! And the Padres beat the Brewers. So the Manny Machado business has actually turned into I wouldn't call it a basis clearing conversation. We'll call it a debate. A debate. There we go. I was on a debate team when I was in school. I'm sure that totally stuns you. But it's turned into a debate that's actually hit social media between Major League Baseball and the Umpires Association, who were the ones using social media to support the one-game suspension of Manny Machado. So, okay, there's a little bit of drama here, just a little bit. So as Machado is helping his team beat the Brewers, the first-place Brewers from the NL Central, there's no such thing as a lost cause, unless you're the Baltimore Orioles. Oh, heavens, we'll get to them. But right now in Major League Baseball, there aren't many lost causes. You can make up a lot of ground between now and the end of the year. The Padres are at 500. Right, so they're paying Machado a lot of money to help them get over that hump. But in the meantime, while that is on a slow play, I still think this is kind of interesting. So the union, this is the Umpires Association, the Umpires Union, took to social media in a Facebook post. Okay, so they decided they wanted to reach Facebook readers, Facebook fans, not Twitter or Instagram, apparently, but Facebook. You can read all about the different demographics of the various social media platforms, but Facebook is supposed to be the one for the older generation. I don't know what that says about the umpires. But they used Facebook to call Machado's one-game suspension for making contact with an umpire a slap in the face. Actually called the suspension a disgrace and talked about how making contact with an ump cannot be tolerated at any level, and that baseball needs to crack down on Machado even harder. So this is from the Facebook post. I mean, if we could settle all of our baseball grievances on Facebook, the sport might have some new fans. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Maybe they need to get an Instagram account. If baseball umpires got an Instagram account, maybe they'd have more fans on their side. So this actually said, this is actually from the Facebook post. It's not okay to throw a temper tantrum and physically touch someone of authority just because you don't agree. Here's my favorite part. Violence in all workplaces is not tolerated. Violence. Which is it? Is it physically touching or is it violence? It can't be both. Violence. Just, that might be a little melodramatic as we were talking about. So look, baseball is trying to be part of our conversation for a reality show. Violence in all workplaces is not tolerated. So the use of social media, I don't know if it's going to sway Major League Baseball to add more games to Machado's suspension. But here are the hashtags. Disappointed. Lead by example. Not appreciated. Violence. Temper tantrum. Inaction. Not tolerated. Make an example of. One game suspension. Repeat offender and nonsense. Are you kidding? Do you know how many hashtags that is? Do you know one of the number one rules of social media is don't use too many hashtags? I'm telling you, if you Google it, rules for Twitter, rules for Facebook, rules to make your Instagram posts more effective, one of the things you're supposed to avoid is a bunch of nonsensical hashtags. But the union used 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 hashtags in its Twitter post. So it was Twitter and Facebook. It was a multi-social media campaign, multi-platform social media campaign. Actually, I'd be all for this. If we had NFL referees and officials start to air their grievances against players on social media, wouldn't it be a little more enticing? We get to know, forget what's going on behind the scenes, behind closed doors when they have their hearings. How about we do everything with hashtags on social media? And yes, that's tongue in cheek. I am, in fact, rolling my eyes, but it is a little melodramatic. And so I like it. I like that Major League Baseball is taking a step toward reality show territory and the Umpires Association then getting called out by Major League Baseball for an inappropriate social media campaign. Okay, fine. Maybe I'm the only one who thinks it's funny. Clearly, neither Chris nor Dave think this is funny because I'm telling this story and the two of them are just looking at me part of the time. Actually, Chris hides behind his computer screen. What does it hide? He's just short. So the computer screen is covering his face. Dave is clearly not amused. You don't find this amusing that the umpires went on social media and talked about how violence in the workplace is not tolerated because Manny Machado made contact with an ump? And that now Major League Baseball is calling the Umpires Association inappropriate.
Yeah, I don't like when the umps and the refs and all the officials become part of the spotlight. I just don't like it. So I try to avoid.
Oh, you're not condoning such behavior?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't. I think it was actually pretty out of line what they said. Mm. I think making that statement in the first place sets a pretty bad precedent.
Hashtag disappointed.
Yeah,
hashtag lead by example.
I think if a player put out a post like that, they would have had harsh punishment or criticism, at the very least.
Hashtag repeat offender. Hashtag nonsense. Hashtag temper tantrum. Oh, that might be my new favorite. Hashtag make an example of.
Well, they're also making it about them with that post, which is the exact opposite of what they're supposed to do, right?
Hashtag violence. Because Manny Machado made contact with an umpire. I mean, the whole thing's bizarre. Yes, you're right. I'm totally being tongue-in-cheek. No, referees and officials, umpires should not be using social media. It's completely unprofessional. But how many more hashtags do you need exactly?
Well, the way they went about it, they not only were they wrong in doing it, the way they did the actual post was as wrong as you could possibly be, too.
Hashtag not appreciated.
Yeah, exactly. Hashtag now everyone in the world is going to be making fun of your post, if that even fits.
Well, this talk show host is faux show. All right, I'm so late. It's totally my fault. I got caught up in telling my story. Later on the show, Phil Mickelson uses social media for something completely different. He started this new thing called Fireside Chats. I had Chris listen to his first story. I don't know that it's inappropriate, but it's a bit of a shocking ending. Dave hasn't heard it yet, and I guarantee Dave will have a reaction because you guys are you're males, you're guys, so this is the kind of thing that you love to talk about. So, you know, I'm making an exception. I don't normally allow these types of stories on the show, but because it's Phil Mickelson Fireside Chats, well, that's coming as well. Get your questions in for Ask Amy Anything on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. Hashtag violence, hashtag temper tantrum, hashtag After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
No, waiting for my appeal. You know, waiting for MLB and Joe Torre to get back to me. And no, honestly, just waiting for my hearing and, you know, to plead my case. And you know, that's all we're going to worry about. I know I got, you know, MLB and the Padres and ownership behind me on this. And, you know, we're just... on the same page, and we're going to move forward from here.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of one Manny Machado after his Padres earned the win, and you hear him say, I'm just waiting for my hearing. I have MLB behind me, which I think is interesting. Maybe he agrees as well that a one-game suspension is fairly light for making contact with an umpire. If you haven't seen the umpire's rant on Twitter. So I was reading to you from the Facebook rant, but the one on Twitter is the one with so many hashtags. So many hashtags. Hashtag nonsense. Hashtag make an example of. I found it. It's still up. So despite MLB's admonition that this is unprofessional and inappropriate, the Umpires Association, with its blue check mark, still has the post live. So you can find that on my Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page. I'll see if we can find the umpires post from their Facebook page and share it. Because, you know, caring is sharing. Oh, no, wait, it's the other way. Sharing is caring. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So we've got a couple of fun stories that that I'll share with you throughout the show. Just I wanted to keep this show light and fun as we muddle through our work week. But I heard this on my way into work, and I would love to get your reaction to it. You guys like music too, right? So I feel like you'll be able to offer an opinion on this because we're all different ages. So we come from different backgrounds, different ages. So I'm hoping that we all have different answers, but maybe we'll be synonymous. No, unanimous. So as I was on my way into work, I heard this headline from a news station. So I'm a bit of a news junkie. So I listen to news radio on the way into work. And the announcer said, coming up next, how to go see your favorite dead band in concert. I'm not sure if you've heard about this latest trend, but you actually pay for tickets to go to a concert venue to watch a performance from your favorite artist who may not be with us anymore via hologram. Now, I know holograms can be extremely realistic, but that's interesting to me. I actually haven't decided whether or not I would pay money to go see, say, I mean, Billy Joel's still alive and I've seen him twice in concert, but he puts on a great show. What if he wasn't available or he stopped touring? Would I go pay money to see him in a hologram form? Again, I know these are really realistic, but I don't know that's something I would do. Especially when you could probably find DVDs or old performances on tape. But what about the concert experience? And so I asked Scott Farrell this when he left. There are some artists, like say Michael Jackson. I never saw Michael Jackson in concert. While there are certainly concert DVDs and videos out there, the fact is he was such a huge star and part of his life was fairly tragic. And when he died, I actually think that there was a whole new generation of young people who became fans of Michael Jackson after his death that weren't necessarily fans before he passed away. Prince, huge artist, obviously. But when he passed away, because of the circumstances, there was almost this, I don't know, this exponential growth in his fan base. I think it happens with rappers sometimes after they die, especially if they're shot. Their legend grows exponentially. So as I asked Scott Farrell, he mentioned Prince. I would go see Prince at a hologram concert. But I'm wondering if you guys would spend money on a concert that's in a hologram form, not with an actual person on the stage.
It's a really weird concept.
Isn't it?
But I definitely have a couple answers of people I'd like to see, sure. I mean, Notorious B.I.G. personally was one of my favorite hip-hop artists growing up. So I would have loved to had an opportunity to see him. Jimi Hendrix, I think, would have been fantastic to see live. Just, you know, obviously, never had that chance. So, and then Michael Jackson is definitely a great answer.
Yeah, Michael Jackson is the first one that I thought of. And there are definitely artists that I never had a chance to see. I think Whitney Houston was one of my absolute favorites. Never saw her in concert. I can't even imagine what it would be like. And she was gone far too soon. I still listen to her music. So I'm wondering if that's an artist that they can make available via hologram, would I go? And there, maybe just for the experience of being with thousands of other people and watching this hologram that apparently the technology can make it seem as though that person is there on the stage, despite the fact that you can see through the person, obviously, depending on what they put behind the hologram. But holograms are see-through, right? You guys know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you can see through them. They're a computer-generated image. So, I don't know, Chris, what do you think? Would you go see an artist in hologram form?
The only way I would go would be for the atmosphere and the crowd, less so about the actual performance, because I don't think anything could replicate seeing the actual artist live. Like, you don't get the same vibe and the same energy, but if you're amongst a sea of fans who are all having a great time, I think you could have a good time. I just don't think it's gonna be equal to actually seeing them in their prime.
But like $150 for a ticket?
No.
Because that may end up being, I mean, if you're paying for the same ticket that you would if it was the actual person.
If it's at, like, you know, Madison Square Garden or the Coliseum out in Oakland, like if they're charging the same thing as, like, game day prices or concert ticket prices, no shot.
That's an interesting question. I'd love to hear from you guys. If there are artists that you would consider going to see in a hologram concert. So for me, it would be Michael Jackson. Whitney Houston probably would be a yes. I would do it even if it was a regular ticket. But I don't know. It's still kind of an odd concept, though, too. What happens if something goes wrong with your technology and the hologram's not that good? I would be really disappointed. It would have to be as realistic as possible and life-size, right? Would the hologram have to be life-size? I guess it would be. I don't know all the technical readouts of this battle station. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Coming up next, a surprise move in free agency that really could shake up one franchise.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Stops on a dime. He's got Matthews in front of him. Kyrie steps through him, then kick out to Horford. Open three. Got it!
You know, you get hypnotized guarding Kyrie Irving, and then you have a guy wide open like Al behind the line.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Al Horford is the glue. He's been the glue for the Boston Celtics for the last several years, as they've been breaking in young superstars, going through some big injuries to other all-stars like Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. It's been Al Horford that does the dirty work. I've talked about it many times on the show. Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell on the Celtics radio network. It's been a long time since we've heard any highlights besides the Warriors and the Raptors. The Celtics definitely underachieved this year, and there was dysfunction. It's been reported now, starting to bubble over. We talked about last night how Kyrie Irving is reportedly ghosting the Celtics, so not in touch with teammates or anyone from the organization, looking to go elsewhere. There are other questions, too. Terry Rozier was unhappy this year, made his displeasure with the locker room very well known. He was public about it. And now comes the story about Al Horford. And this is being reported by multiple sources. To me, this is a big blow for the Celtics. In fact, the biggest one, bigger than losing Kyrie Irving. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So Chris did a good job of finding some concert photos of artists in hologram form. So I tweeted about it. He put a tweet out as well, After Hours CBS, and that's where you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Also on our Facebook page. There are actually tours out there of artists, specifically via hologram with nothing else on the stage. So we'll get back to that. If you've seen one, I'd love to hear from you. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's brought to you toll-free by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. A free agent surprise. Al Horford is bypassing his $30.1 million option for next season and will leave the Celtics as an unrestricted free agent. It's not so much about the points and the rebounds, though he did average 13.5 points and nearly 7 boards per game this season. Spent 3 years with the Celtics, relatively durable. It's more about the heart and the intelligence and the calming force that he brings to the team. But also, he's the one who's willing to do the dirty work. He's the one who's willing to block shots, to make sure everyone's in the correct defensive rotation, to hustle, to go after loose balls. He's the communicator out there. He's the guy who very often is keeping the team together when it seems like all hell is breaking loose. It's not just about the stats. Every team needs a player like Al Horford, who spent the last 3 years with Boston, but again, signed a 4-year deal with the player option as this fourth season here. And multiple reports are indicating that he wants way more money than what the Celtics are willing to offer in his next deal. And as much as I am a huge fan of Horford, who's been an all-star 5 times, and also, as I say, a key member of the Celtics for what he does behind the scenes and the grittiness and the gutsiness that he brings to the table. Guttiness. I don't even know if that's a word. You know what I mean. But here's my question. Is he going to make $30 million a year somewhere else? That's a lot of ka-ching to turn down. And I understand contracts are guaranteed. These guys want long-term deals. It makes sense in terms of your big picture overall earnings power. And we've seen other athletes, specifically in football, bet on themselves, gamble on themselves, and either get the deal they wanted, get the extra money they wanted, or not. So we have examples of both. Horford just turned 33, so theoretically should have a few more good years. He takes care of his body. He's big on that. And as I say, pretty durable. But just bypass $30 million. That's guaranteed money that he's leaving on the table. So it'll be interesting to see what other team out there gives him a contract that's commensurate with what he believes he is worth, but also how much will it pay him for this coming season? I guess if you get a 3-year contract that's worth, say, I don't know, $85 million, $90 million. Well, $90 million would be $30 million over the next 3 years. But let's say it's 3 years, but it doesn't average $30 million. But maybe you get all of that guaranteed money, so you're willing to say, okay, I'll take a little less this season. I hope the numbers come out, because I would like to know how far apart Horford's camp is from the Celtics. But also, if he's not getting what he wants from Boston, a team that knows his worth unequivocally, which he's fit in with so well, what are other teams going to be willing to offer him? Is he looking for a max deal? I love Al Horford, but I don't know that he's a max player. I could be wrong, though. You're worth whatever a team is willing to pay you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So James is in South Carolina and wants to weigh in on concert holograms.
Yeah, it's a few years ago, I went and saw Brad Paisley.
Okay.
And his duet with Carrie Underwood, he was doing at that time. She wasn't there. And whenever the music started playing, they had a holograph come walking on stage. I guess the computers and all, they had made it. And it's just like she was walking onto the stage to sing the song. And after she got done singing, you know, they did the duet, she turned to the crowd and waved and walked off the stage.
Did it feel real?
Yeah. You thought she was there.
Wow. So you didn't mind the fact that it was a hologram.
Had a few too many drinks. But that night, I took my grandkids, and you would have thought she was there.
Oh, okay. So, but it didn't bother you, James, that she wasn't, that it was a hologram.
Yeah, I'd rather that than, you know, some of the backup singers stepped up there to do it.
Interesting. That's really, and could you see through her?
You could when the lights hit her.
Uh-huh.
But I can't say that I would go see pay for a ticket for a concert.
Yeah.
And then.
A whole concert of a hologram. I gotcha.
The only one if I was going to, it would have to be a concert I was supposed to go to. I don't know if you remember, there's a group, Lynyrd Skynyrd got killed in a plane crash, the original group.
Right.
They played here in Greenville the night before and took off from Greenville.
Oh, God.
And crashed over. I was supposed to go to the concert, but I was a teenager and got in trouble, and Mama didn't let me go.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, James, that I appreciate your perspective, that as someone who's seen a hologram as part of a concert. Now, there was a live artist there, but he was joined on stage by a hologram. James, thank you so much for your phone call. Sorry, we have to let you go. We're at the top of the hour. I've seen a bunch of the stories about how Tupac showed up. I think it was Coachella a few years ago, and it was Snoop Dogg on stage, and Tupac was with him. But it was, again, not an entire concert of him, but he was making a cameo, so to speak, via hologram. Amy Winehouse, who, you know, tragic death as well among the artist community, she apparently has a concert tour this year that's all via hologram. And other names like Roy Orbison in a hologram concert. Maybe Elvis. I never had the chance to see Elvis or the Beatles. They were done long before I was around. But still, an entire concert with an artist that you can see through. Some of you are finding me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Doug says, I saw Tupac. It was kind of weird. It's our Hump Show, After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.